It's the Morning Mess. Good morning, Dan and for Scott. Time for Dial-A-Doc. We pay a visit on FHN in Freeport. And joining us today, Dr. Timothy Jessen, Allergy and Immunology Department at FHN. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
Nice to have you with us. Today's topic is allergic reactions to vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccine in particular. So, Dr. Jessen, you're a doctor dealing with issues involving allergies, asthma, and immunology. What all is encompassed in those three areas?
For allergies, we treat the usual hay fever, food allergy, eczema, hives, things along those lines, occasionally drug allergy. And then for the immunology part, we look at folks that have trouble fighting infection for some reason. We look at their immune systems to see if there's something we can fix or improve.
All right. What types of allergies do people experience during the winter months?
Well, luckily nobody's allergic to snow, so that's very helpful. but dust mites are there year-round. Pet allergens tend to be a big one. We've seen a increase in that. People are at home more with their pets because of the COVID, and so that has been more of a problem this year. And of course, food allergies and other allergies go on all year. So.
Do being indoors more in the winter, does that give you more allergies, or is it easier to get them when you're inside more than getting outside?
Well, it depends on what you're allergic to. If you're allergic to your pets and you're inside with them more, with the house closed up, it's going to be more of a problem.
All right. One of the topics, Doctor, that's getting a lot of attention in the news media, vaccines in general and the vaccines to protect us against COVID-19 in particular, there seem to be many people who think that vaccines are not safe. And how many people have you seen who've had an allergic reaction to a vaccine?
Well, back 20, 30 years ago, we used to see allergic reactions to vaccine with some frequency. There was egg in vaccine, there was gelatin in some of the vaccines, and I remember even having to test people to vaccines to check for allergy for them before they would be administered. That has not occurred in my practice in the last 15 years because the vaccines have continually improved over that period of time. Whatever was causing the problem was eliminated. The vaccines have been improved, and so now the rate is very, very low. I mean, it's virtually unheard of, to be honest. They still happen, I'm sure, but it's very, very uncommon.
What do you do when there's false information out there and someone comes in and they don't agree with the vaccine? Do you have some things that you can say to them?
Well, I always like to tell them as much information as I can from good sources. Unfortunately, a lot of people have come in, have already made up their minds, and changing minds can be very, very challenging. I mean, if I find somebody who's on the fence who hasn't made up their mind yet, often some information and some discussion will push them in the right direction. Having decided against something before I ever see them becomes much more challenging. I occasionally will offer them the discussion about risk. I mean, what's the risk of the vaccine versus the risk of not receiving the vaccine? And I had one parent tell me one time, I'm not going to give my child this vaccine unless it's 100% safe. And I advised her that nothing she does is 100% safe. It's just a matter of what's the relative risk. You know, the risk of the vaccine is very, 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 very low. The risk of the disease is very, very real. And the consequences of having the disease can be very severe. So you have to balance those two things out.
And some people can have a reaction to a vaccine, so if somebody's going to have a reaction, would it be dangerous?
Well, luckily, all the reactions to the vaccines, because they are injectable, occur very quickly, so within the first 20 or 30 minutes. And so, especially with the newer vaccines, with the COVID, once that concern was raised, pretty much everybody's watched for 15 or 20 minutes after the vaccine, at least until we gather more information. Those can be severe allergic reactions, but they are almost never life-threatening. I mean, they can be an unpleasant experience, certainly, but if they're treated adequately, they usually come out fine. I've sort of made my living doing that, and it is indeed possible to treat those reactions.
And it seems very safe that you keep them around a little bit just to make sure there isn't a reaction.
Right.
People have other reactions to vaccines, too, like sore arms or aches or similar. Are those considered allergic reactions?
No, those are considered side effects, basically, because when you receive a vaccine, obviously an injection that goes in your arm into your muscle is going to be a little uncomfortable periodically. Also, virtually all of the other side effects are evidence of your immune system doing what it's supposed to do. It comes into the area to try to eliminate the problem that can make your arm a little sore. It can activate your immune system in a more general way, so you can get a little achy. You might even get a little low-grade fever and maybe not feel quite so good for a couple of days. But that's simply your immune system responding to the vaccine in a very appropriate way.
This is Dial the Doc, by the way. Dr. Timothy Jessen, Allergy and Immunology Department at FHN, part of our weekly talk. Now, the reason it goes into a muscle is, and that's usually the part that hurts because you have to put a long needle into a muscle. Why does it have to go into a muscle, Doctor?
Not all vaccines have to go into a muscle, but we've learned just over time that response rates are best when it's put in a muscle. Your other choices, I mean, obviously back, we had an oral polio vaccine that was on the sugar cube, and that went in that way. But for most of the killed vaccines or the vaccines that are just protein-based, the response rate is just better when it's given in a muscle.
Okay. When you get vaccinated against some disease, aren't you essentially getting a small dose of that disease so your body can create antibodies?
What you're actually getting nowadays is you are getting in some way, shape, or form, your immune system exposed to a protein on the outside of that virus or on the outside of that bacteria that your immune system will respond to. When your immune system responds to a virus, it doesn't respond to the DNA or the RNA from the virus. It responds to what's on the outside. That's what your body can see. So if we can show that to your body ahead of time, either by giving you that protein that we sort of constructed, or by using a virus that's been killed and maybe broken apart, then while there's no risk of infection whatsoever, your immune system now has seen that protein, and if it shows up again on a real virus, your immune system will be ready to go.
This is a question not on our list of questions today, but a little sidebar, Doctor. Some parents really try to be careful with their kids and have them not get into anything. It is actually good for a person to be out and about and to catch some things so that your body learns how to work against those type of things. Is that an okay assessment, that you should get out and get some things?
Well, I think the hygiene theory, which has been around for a while, has less to do with one's ability to fight infection, though certainly, you know, not getting an infection again sometimes is having had the infection before, which is why kids that when they first go to school tend to get a lot of stuff because they just get more exposure. But the hygiene theories suggest that people that get a lot of routine childhood infections, colds and so forth, and get more exposure to dirt for that matter, are less likely to become allergic because of the way it shifts your immune system.
All right. Back to the vaccine. What is in the vaccine, Doctor, that causes an allergic reaction in some people?
Well, it depends on the vaccine. Again, the earlier vaccines had egg in them. Even the flu vaccine had egg until very recently. I think it's only within the last 2 years that the egg's been virtually eliminated from most of the influenza vaccines. There were gelatin in some of the other ones. And again, those things have been improved. When it comes to like the newer vaccine, as far as the COVID vaccines, exactly what's causing the reaction is currently being looked at, which is the process that we go through all the time. If we have a vaccine and there appear to be reactions to it, the first thing we do is we dig down and figure out what about that vaccine is causing that problem. We know that it's virtually never the active ingredient, if you will. It's always something that's coming along for the ride that we've used to make the vaccine or stabilize the vaccine or something on those lines.
This is Dial the Doc, part of FHN and Big Radio's Visit on a Weekly Basis. We're talking with Dr. Timothy Jessen today. The new COVID-19 vaccine came to the market pretty quickly. Do you believe that they're safe coming to the market so fast, Doctor?
Well, I think so, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, we have a couple of centuries worth of experience with vaccines. So this isn't vaccines in themselves are not a new concept. And the technology that was used to allow this vaccine to be rapidly developed once the virus was identified has been researched over more than two decades. I mean, the research on how to do this has been going on with, for this particular process, has been going on for over 20 years. So we had the technology available. We had everything tied down. All we had to do is, you know, identify a virus that we needed to use it for and then release it. It has been used for other vaccines that were less widely released, but this is the first time I'm aware of that it's been used for a vaccine that, with this wide of a release. But again, based on the technology and the prior research, this is a very safe vaccine.
And of course, nobody wanted any of this to happen. But scientifically, as each of these things do come by, all of us folks, it's good for future research. I mean, they've gathered a ton of information on this for the future, have they not?
Right. I mean, every time an event like this comes along, we're very careful to gather as much data as we can. Because again, the more information you have, the more likely you are to be able to more effectively respond to the next thing that comes along.
Doctor, what do you think is important for people to remember about the COVID-19 vaccines?
Well, I think it's important to remember, number one, that it's a very safe vaccine based on very well-developed technology, and that it's critically important that everybody get this vaccine if they are able. If we ever want to leave our homes again in any reasonable way, or if we ever want to have our hospitals not be full of people who are sick and dying at this rate, people are going to have to get vaccinated. And at this point, there's probably nothing more important in the public health world, or even in the world of medicine in general, than people getting this vaccine.
Dr. Timothy Jessen from FHN, part of Dial-A-Doc today. Your opinion, doctor, both as a doctor in your own patients and FHN in general, are you happy with the release of the vaccine? Are you getting a proper number of doses? Are they coming in at a good rate? Do you feel happy with how you're immunizing people? Is it feeling like a good process so far?
Well, at this point, we're all kind of still getting up to speed. The vaccines that we have currently, because of the temperature restrictions, aren't ones that we can keep in the office to give. So they're going to have to be given pretty much as has been nationwide, which is, you know, in dedicated places. You know, you're going to roll up with your appointment, get your vaccine, and then go on. Unless, as newer vaccines come out that don't have the significant temperature storage restriction that the current ones have, those will probably be able to sit in an office freezer somewhere, and you'll be able to get those whenever you go see your doctor. But for the initial rollout, it's going to have to be in, most likely, in specific centers. And, I mean, I think everybody's pretty willing to agree that we need to do this a bit more quickly than what we are doing it, and that, you know, it's one of those situations where we really all have to pull together to kind of get this vaccine out and administer it as soon as we can.
Well said. We're all in this together. For people that are curious or not sure just what their age bracket is for when they can get the vaccine, where do people find out more?
Well, certainly there are very good websites. The NIH and the CDC have very good websites that have frequently asked questions that you can just go online and look up very quickly. You always have the opportunity to check in with your doctor if you have questions about very specific things in your case, because your doctor will have access to that information.
We've been talking with Dr. Timothy Jessen, Allergy and Immunology Department at FHN, part of Dial-A-Doc on Big Radio. Doctor, thanks so much for sharing your time with us and give us some valuable information. Good luck with all the vaccine implementation, and hope to talk again soon, okay?
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Dr. Timothy Jessen. That's Dial-A-Doc, part of FHN. This is Big Radio, WBGR, Big FM 93.7 in the Morning Mess.